After his resurrection, Jesus spent 40 days speaking with his followers about the kingdom of God. And doggone it, nobody took any notes. We don't have one record of that. Not one. Wouldn't you like to have been in on that? I mean, why didn't they record that for us? I'm a little mad at God about that. I mean, can you imagine the richness of that particular moment of teaching after the resurrection? And then Jesus said, I have to go. The season's changing. And he said this. He said, if I don't go, he won't come. Sometimes you have to move. You have to change for God to come. I can't imagine anybody wanting Jesus to leave. There's just no way you would invite that. There's no way you'd get up and clap and shout and sing because Jesus is saying, my time here is done. And it's necessary that I go to the Father. But he said, for your benefit, I'm leaving. Yeah, right. But he said, if I don't go, the Holy Spirit's not going to come. It can't change until I go. Moving is just, it's good for all of us. I had a bunch of scripture I wanted to read. I wanted to share some of Dean's stories because he didn't share it when he had the chance. Dean has 5 Muslims in his class in Uganda. 5 former converted Muslims. Talking about new doors. He didn't find that interesting enough to share. But I got excited about that. It was good. Let me read one scripture and then we'll share just a couple of things. And I will tell a couple of stories. I want to try to keep you abreast of why we're going, where we're going, and why we're doing it. Could I read from Philippians chapter 1? And then I think maybe we move on toward Easter and we just tell some stories from the book of Acts and talk about just how we can partner with God and what he's doing. Let's see, Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. This is Paul thanking God for this church. He says in verse 3, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It's right for me to feel this way about all of you since I have you in my heart, for whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. So he calls them partnership and he says, you all share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ. This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. That's a great greeting to a church, isn't it? Thank you for your partnership in the gospel. And I feel that way. I feel like we're learning how to partner with each other in what God has given each of us to do. The other passage I wanted to read was from Acts, and maybe we'll do that next week. But as the gospel spread from Jerusalem, it says the people were scattered. And it says many went and preached the gospel to just the Jews. And then it says this, some, however. Some. No names. Went and preached the gospel to the Gentiles also. Some. They're not named. We don't know who they are. They just did it. almost when the apostles wouldn't. Peter is having to have this vision and revelation on the rooftop about what God is calling him to do, to go to the Gentiles. You know that story about the food and the, was a kind of a Cajun feast let down in a net. It says all kind of creeping and crawling animals that they love to eat, right, Emily? But God was trying to tell Peter, it's time to move, buddy. It's a new day. I'm opening the gospel to the world. Peter says, no. He couldn't move off of what he knew. But it says some, however, preached the gospel to the Gentiles and they were saved. And a church was born in a little place called Antioch. And I won't tell the whole story, but I just want to say some. Would you just say some? That's who you are. Some. And we're all partners in the gospel and in the grace of God. But again, thank you for praying for me and for Dean. These little Bible schools, the opportunities are endless. We're partnering now with many people in many countries, and it just kind of started in Kenya with what we call KMTI, Kenya Ministry Training Institute. Many years ago, Leroy Curtis, one of our friends, decided to develop a school to train these local pastors who would never get a chance to go to the city, get a degree. Developed a curriculum, inductive through all of Scripture. We partnered with that, the covenant and the kingdom, that's a more practical-based application of Scripture. And over 2 years, these guys get a diploma, and it's changing their lives. Well, Kenya moved to Uganda, Uganda to Senegal, Senegal to Congo, several other African countries, Zambia, Mexico called, India is calling. I was with Mike McCarty, my brother-in-law. Mike's got Parkinson's symptoms and is finding it difficult to travel. But he won't quit. So when he calls me, I'm supposed to say, no, I don't want to come. And he can sometimes hardly have the strength to stand. He's teaching all day. He just won't quit. And so he leaves for Kenya. And one of our other teachers from Jackson, Mississippi, is going to meet him there after he goes to India and teaches. Danny Williams, a young man who grew up in this church, met the Lord at a fraternity house Bible study, was the first couple I ever married, Danny and Melanie. Danny's in Jackson. Phil Amon goes to a Bible study. Been going on for 10 years. A group of men get together at a little storefront in Ridgeland. I went with Phil a few weeks ago. And Phil was there Tuesday night, and he texts me, says, I met a friend of yours named Danny Williams. Said you were the first person. Said you married him and his wife. So all these connections, just amazing how small a world. And so in Mexico, this is my second trip. I was with Mike 2 years ago, this first class. And this was the last class in the graduation. And you think the Africans make a big deal of celebrating. You ought to see the Mexicans. I mean, we had mariachi bands. We had all kind of stuff. We cooked hamburgers. Their families move in for the celebration. It was a lot of fun. The graduation was 3 hours and 20 minutes long. In Africa, we're limiting it now to 2 hours. But a partnership with a missionary that's carved out a little place in southern Mexico in the state of Chiapas, which is the southernmost state near the Guatemalan border. Kind of right in the center. On the left, you'd have the west, you'd have the Pacific. The right, you'd have the Gulf, Yucatan Peninsula. Beautiful mountainous country. We fly into a little place from Mexico City called Tuxtla. It's not little. It's a bustling city. They got a Home Depot and stuff like that. A really nice Italian restaurant. And our host there Or a couple from Lafayette, Louisiana, been going to Mexico for 25 years. A businessman, not unlike Clint Eve, self-supporting, sold a business so he could go to the mission field. That's all, about all I know about him. But he has friends that love to come and serve him. And so I met Jim the dentist from Lafayette, who not only does short-term trips and does dental work in the villages down there, but also came this week, busy graduation week, just to serve and drive the car back and forth to the airport and down to the village. I met Sonia and Cindy from Texas, middle-aged women full of life and laughter. They came to take photos of the graduates. I met Leonard and Kathy, who came just to bring Bibles with each student's name embossed in gold in a nice big study, Holman study Bible. They've never had anything like that. That's their ministry. That's their partnership in the gospel. Just going to come down and bring Bibles and pay for it. I met Tom. I said, I know a friend from Lafayette, you know, 126,000 people in Lafayette, Louisiana. I'm in Little Mexico, of course. He knew my friend. He's my brother-in-law's brother, Buddy Bullen. He said, yeah, I took my first short-term missionary trip with Buddy to Nicaragua. Partnership in the gospel. The school came about when this missionary from Lafayette followed his children and moved to Colorado Springs. Got involved with a big mega church there and got involved in a small group. And in that small group was a guy named Steve Reynolds, who's one of our teachers in our Bible schools. And just in discussing, Russell said, yeah, we have a work in Mexico. We go back and forth and we have a facility there. We've been wanting to start a Bible school, but we don't have a curriculum. And Steve said, I have a curriculum. And that's how this school started. This is the third class now, 6 years ago, third graduating class. So a lot of partnerships just by people moving and acting and doing and doors opening through other people. Some. You wouldn't know these people if I didn't give you their names. But they're just obeying God. I was blessed. So these are people that we don't have a history with, but we do now. We're building one, and it's a good one. This class was 32 students and four people groups in three languages. So I'm teaching in English. My young 24-year-old Luis is translating into Spanish. Over in the corner is a little lady very quietly translating the Spanish into Sotil for the five students whose Spanish is not very good. So this is all day, back and forth. And so come graduation day on Saturday after their last exam on Friday, they're planning for the big program and they have a class song, and it was How Great Thou Art. And they all wanted to sing it in their own language. I'm moved now. I broke down. My children think I don't cry. They never seen me cry. It's because they don't go with me to the mission field. There was one young Mayan kid in the class whose grandparents were probably cannibals. So he sings How Great Thou Art as a solo because he's the only Maya, but he sings it. Out of darkness into his marvelous light. But to hear all of them sing it in their own language was kind of like heaven. Like John said, I heard the sound of many waters, men from every tribe and tongue and language. So just want you to know it was a good trip, great time, great celebration. And I'll probably have to go back because the door's open and I want to move. Not there, I just want to move. I am challenged to maybe learn Spanish. If there's anybody here who feels like they can help me, I'd be open to that. It's one of my fears. I'm trying to discard my fears for the next phase of my journey. Anybody laying aside a few fears so you can run your race? Anybody beside me? I don't know. I've got these little funny phobias. I hate tests. I'm scared of tests. And I'm going to take one. I'm trying to reactivate my little contractor's license. But you have to take a test. And I thought, well, maybe it's not worth it. With all these books you got to study and read. You got to go online. You got to go to Jackson. And I thought, kind of scared. But I felt the Lord say, do it. Deal with your fears and do it. Learn a language. Do something. Move. Just move. But when the gospel broke out there in that little town of Antioch, all these no-names, just people partnering together. Some took the gospel. They heard about it in Jerusalem. They needed a good man to send and check it out. They send a good man. His name was Barnabas. Barnabas gets there, realizes the gospel's breaking out of cultural boundaries of Judaism. And he says, I know just the guy for this. Saul. He says, Barnabas left Antioch to go find Saul. Brings him there. And it says, for 2 years they taught the people and the church grew and prospered. He said, disciples were first called Christians in Antioch, not Jerusalem. Someone said, you know, apostle means one who is sent. Somebody said, in Jerusalem, the ones who were supposed to be sent had to be sent for. Because it was the no-names that went out, preached the gospel. Doors opened, partnerships, relationships, doors flinging wide open. They send a good man named Barnabas. Barnabas has said, this ain't my role. We need Saul. He's the apostle, God's chosen apostle to the Gentiles. He needs to see what's happening here. I'll go get him. So I just want to share all of this to see if you can find yourself in the story and find what role you would play. So they're in Antioch teaching. The church is prospering. It says some prophets came down and prophesied there'd be a famine in the entire Roman Empire. And so they took up an offering in Antioch to send to Judea or Jerusalem. So here's Antioch sending offerings to Jerusalem. Partnership. Maybe you're the one that gave. I took this trip because somebody gave. That was their partnership with me. I was sustained. I'm telling you folks, there's something about the grace of God, you can almost taste it. Matter of fact, the story I'm referring to, it says when Barnabas got to Antioch and saw the grace of God, he said he left for Tarsus to find Saul. You can see it. I don't even know how to describe it. It's just being away from family and friends, from your culture, eating huevos y frijoles every morning, which I loved. They cook for us there, three Indian ladies. And a little gallon of motorcycle with a box on the back brings a stack of hot, fresh corn, thin tortillas every day. Really nice. Kind of like Esther used to make. But being sustained in spirit by grace is just an amazing thing. And I know that came by your prayers. And I'm just thankful for it. Grateful to God. So the church prospered. Prophetic vision, generosity and sharing. Saul, who's not yet known as Paul at this point, and church a little unsure about this former persecutor, rightly so. The role of Barnabas, the no names, all of these partnerships causing the gospel to prosper. I want to encourage you to find your place in the story. Which one are you? None of us are the same. You're not going to go down there and teach, probably. You might if you want to. The door's open. But you might go find somebody else to go. There's just a lot of roles to play. And I want to encourage you to be open. So these are wonderful days. The gospel is growing. Muslim community, Dean's stories are fantastic. Several of them in his class in Uganda have stories of dreams and visions. Christ just revealing himself. Fantastic. So to Jim and Sonia and Cindy and Leonard and Kathy and Tom and Russell and Charlotte and Steve, they're no names to you, but they partnered for a very profitable trip. And 32 people now going back into the mountains to their villages with 2 years of good, solid gospel kingdom teaching under their belt. The church is going to grow and prosper down there. Yeah, good network going on. We didn't start it. We won't finish it. But we got to partner. I like it. Well, I hope that helps you, gives you some idea of what we do and why we do it. But I do pray we'll all find a place in the story to get involved. And that's just one little thing. Something maybe happening in your neighborhood or in your world, your baseball world, your music world, in your jail world. Philip runs into somebody new, got a son at Chickasaw prison. To get partner, okay? Everywhere you go, if you'll just look, the Lord's at work. Let's stand together and thank Him again. Praise Him. If any of you are interested in this book Brantley mentioned, it's been rather invigorating for several of us. It's called Letters to the Church by Francis Chan. Some of you know that name. He's written a number of books, but a very convicting book to me that deals straightforwardly, biblically, with the consumeristic attitude in the church today. And it's... I guess my advice would be don't read it. There's a shift going on in God's world. And the church is once again going to be effective where it needs to be effective. We're probably going to have to move some to get there. So it's a good time to answer in your own heart, you know, just again, laying your life out there to God. Brantley was sharing something he had read with me I thought was really good by Eugene Peterson, the late Eugene Peterson, who just passed away this year. He said we were born to give. We were made to be givers and not takers. That's what you were made for. That's the image of God in man, is to give. Jesus taught it. Very few really believed it when he said, what? It's better to give than to get. It's better. So let's encourage you. Find a way to give. Let the Lord be glorified in us and through us for his glory. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, again for the day, for the time together, for the wonderful activity of the Holy Spirit in us and through us in places way, way, way out there where nations are hungering for the gospel and people are going and partnering and sending and blessing and just doing stuff in your name. I want to thank you, Lord, for stirring us in this day. Pray that we'd find our place in the story to just contribute what's been given to us by God. Nothing more, but nothing less. Just obeying you with what's in us to give. I pray, Lord, that none of us would feel inadequate. or feel useless, perhaps is better. Because to do so, Lord, is to deny the image of the Creator in us. We don't want to do that. We want to discover the image of God in us. I'd like to discover the image of God in me, in Bill. That part of me that was made to reflect you. The part that's simply unique to me. It won't be like anybody else. It won't have the same gift, same opportunity, same door, same friendships. And I pray for the people this morning, Lord. As Paul prayed for Philippians, he said, I pray your love may abound more and more in the knowledge, understanding of God. So I just ask of you this morning that you remove all of the negative thinking in our lives, Lord, about that we can't do or we don't have or I'm not like this one or I can't do that. I pray you just lift that off like a cloud and let us acknowledge the image of God in us that's meant to give and to produce and to share and to partner like the pieces of a huge puzzle. Finding our little place where we connect two other things together that begins to give vision for a whole photograph, a whole picture of something beautiful. So thank you for sharing these things with us, Lord, as we move and as we open ourselves to the flow and the work of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the good word of God and for your presence among us in Jesus' name. Amen.